The Beekeeper's Cottage by Emma Davies and read by Sarah Lambie for Saga Egmont. Prologue. Grace's mother always joked that she should have christened her Grace Anne Decorum, not plain Grace Anne Jones, as she was back then. It was a teasing reminder that a high-spirited child like her should practice grace and decorum at all times, or at least whenever possible. Now she was much older, Grace often wondered if this mantra was her mother's way of helping her cope with all the blows that life had dealt her. She hoped so. Grace needed all the help she could get. Her mother had taught her many things as a child. How to laugh, how to sit still for hours watching the baby rabbits on the lawn, how to creep out on a bright, frosty morning to see the miracle of cobwebs in the hedgerow, the same hedgerows that a few months earlier had yielded bursting blackberries for her taste buds to explore. She'd taught her how to love hot buttered crumpets by the fire, and the feel of the wind in her hair, the tang of salt from the sea on her skin, and the gentle caress of the sun-warmed air. Above all, she had taught Grace how to value each and everything in her life, because one day they might not be there. Her mother had died when Grace was only 22, and so many years had gone by now, some days it was a real struggle to remember her at all. Not today, though. Today, Grace could see her mother everywhere in the garden. In the tall Michaelmas daisies whose friendly heads bent gently in the breeze. In the tumble of leaves playing joyously along the patio. And in the air itself which enfolded her with the kindest of touches. And she was glad, because today she really needed her mother's help. She needed someone to remind her what was important in her life. Grace was sitting in her favourite spot, just under the apple tree, on a bench that had seen better days but which was still the most comfortable place to sit. With a cup of tea and a biscuit with her for moral support, she contemplated her options, although, in truth, there was only one. A friendly robin came to join her momentarily, and she wondered if it was these little things that she would remember most about this day and time to come, or whether they would pale under the enormity of what she was about to do. Fortunately, she didn't have too long to wait, and the sound of tyres on gravel soon cut through her thoughts. She drained the last of her tea and, rising, brushed the crumbs from her skirt. Then she began to walk slowly back inside the house, where she would greet her husband and bring an end to their 32 years of marriage. Chapter 1. Amos clutched the loaf of bread to his chest with one hand, savouring its smell. In the other hand, he lightly swung a carrier bag, trying not to snag it on the roses that lined the pathway from the village shop. Their scent was heady this late in the day, and he breathed it in, feeling the same sense of peace and contentment that had drawn him to the village in the first place. Finding the little shop had been a pleasant surprise, but discovering it was open until 8 o'clock in the evening had been nothing short of miraculous. But then Amos had always believed in the miraculous. Bill, the shopkeeper, had been very helpful, not wary like some folk were when they first met Amos, who, with his dungarees and bright red Doc Martin boots, would be the first to admit that his appearance wasn't all that conventional for a man of his age. Listening carefully as Amos explained that he was looking for a place to camp in return for any kind of work he could offer as payment, Bill didn't make any promises, but suggested that Amos have a look around the shop for a few moments while he made a phone call. He knew someone who might be glad of an extra pair of hands. Only when the deal was done had Bill given him a name and address, and Amos had understood perfectly. You couldn't be too careful, not in this day and age. He had paid for his bread, a bottle of water, and some apples before taking his leave. With any luck, he would soon be in a position to properly repay Bill his kindness. In Amos's world, that was just the way things worked. Taking the little lane up by the church, Amos followed Bill's directions, enjoying the rustle of the wind in the big horse chestnut trees along the way. He would have liked to see them in the autumn too, but he knew he would be long gone by then. Stopping for a moment, he looked up at the cloudless blue sky and frowned slightly, knowing from just the sound that the car coming towards him was driving far too fast. He stepped safely onto the wide verge in good time as a dark blue Lexus roared past him, sending a shower of dust and noise up into the air. Amos.